people around us that are constantly, they're breathing, which means it's constantly speaking to us. People around us that are constantly, they're breathing and they're alive, they're constantly speaking to us. But we only get that when we read it with the Holy Spirit, when we invite the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but every time I read the word, I say, Holy Spirit, give me something new. So you can read the same thing so many times. And then this just really spoke to me, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. So the next morning, I was just reading a little bit more. And the tree represents the body of Christ. But I really felt in that moment that the Holy Spirit was saying to me, that is this body of Christ, that is this church family. And it has spreading its branches out so that the birds of the air, us, can come and make nests within its branches. Somewhere else said that, another version said they make their home within those branches and within the safety of it. So then I was reading a little bit more. Birds and trees are spoken of in the Bible so often. If you don't read your Bible very much, you won't know this. If you read your Bible a lot and you read more than just, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, which is great, or I'm a new creation. But if you read your Bible and you really ask God to speak to it, you will know that trees and birds are everywhere. Trees speak of the body. Birds speak of the people. So can we find another scripture? I'll be really quick. Ezekiel 17, 22 to 24 talks about birds of every kind finding shelter. And then a bit further on, sorry, guys, I didn't prepare for this. I just felt this morning that God wanted me to share this today in this moment. You don't have to find them. It's fine. But you can trust me. Or you can make a note or write it down and then go and find it. Ezekiel 17, 22 to 24 talks about birds of every kind coming from all nations, finding shelter within the branches of the trees. And then in chapter 31, 3 to 14, it talks about the water at the roots of the tree keep the tree strong. Are you with me? Somewhere else, Daniel chapter 4, verse 9 to 20. Oh, there it is in there. It says Anna. It just talks about trees. I absolutely love it. Trees are just everywhere. Daniel 4 as well, 9 to 23, talks about this again. It talks about a tree that was strong and beautiful. It was had wide spreading branches because its roots went deep into life-giving water. And I just couldn't get this picture out of my head of these families of birds coming from all over the place, and they made their nests within the branches of the trees. And it's within those branches that they found safety and they found shelter. But they could only do that because the roots of the trees went deep into life-giving water. And I love that picture. So this was 2 weeks ago, a Saturday night, a Sunday morning. Just wrote it down in my notes, because when you walk with the Holy Spirit in you, you know when to write something down. And I left it there. And then on the Sunday morning after the worship, I went down checking on the kids' groups, you know, seeing how everybody was. I missed the start of the message. And when I came back up, Dad, a.k.a. Pastor Steve, was speaking about that. When he was speaking, it was talking about that. And I was like, oh, okay, thank you. And then I mentioned it after, and I said, that was amazing. And then that same Sunday, I had another conversation with one of my lovely African friends. I think it was you, Augustina. And it just resonated again, this scripture. And she was saying to me how coming from a country that doesn't have the crazy freedoms that we have here, and some of our freedoms are great and some of them are scary. Anyone? Any parents scared by the freedoms that we have in this country? Yes. And she was saying, you give us hope because we see your teenagers. You have teenagers that love God, that serve God. You have done it. And that gives us hope in this country. And I was just so humbled by that, that we take it for granted for a start. And that if this is our culture, that we have a responsibility to bring hope and show hope, we have to take it so seriously. And I had never thought about that. We just bring our kids to church, we speak the word, and they have to do everything. If they can do it, if they're tall enough to reach it, they can do it. If they're strong enough to carry it, they can carry it. And that's just what happens. So thank you for saying that, Augustina, because I needed to hear that for this word. And then this morning, I just felt the Holy Spirit say, today is the day. So I want to remind you that if you are here, you are in these strong branches, that you are building your home, you're building your nest because it is safe. Your neighbours have a responsibility to look down, check in on you, and to keep you safe from the other things that are circling around. Make your nests strong, with good stuff, with good neighbours, and keep on trusting in the safety of the branches. Keep on praying for more of God. Keep close to Him and be on the lookout. I just felt that in my spirit this morning. But I'm so thankful to be making my nest in great branches, in a tree where roots go so deep. They go deeper than you would ever imagine because of what gets fed into it. So please go away and read those scriptures. If you didn't write them down, woe to you. You'll have to go onto online and find them again. But I hope that's encouraged someone this morning. Because I felt God wanted, maybe it's just one person needed to hear that this morning. But it was definitely a word for this church family.
Amen. Awesome. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Father, seal that word in our hearts, we pray.
One of those, Sundays where you just, you know what you've come to do, but I just feel like the Lord keep interrupting, actually, because He wants to say something. I don't know about you, sometimes I just have like these really odd weeks, and this week, just haven't been able to put my finger on it. It's just felt really off, you know. And I was talking this morning with one of my dearest friends here, actually, with Dorothy, and just saying, you know, and she'd just been asking each other questions, and I just couldn't put my finger on it, but I just felt like in my heart and in my spirit, and just felt really off. And I've been around the things of God long enough to know that actually when God's really just doing something or wants to do something, my whole life feels really disturbed. Does anybody know what I mean? Or is it just me? Anyone know what I'm trying? Like when God's just trying to do something, my whole life just feels like it's disturbed and I just have not slept and all the rest of it. And I love that picture, Stephanie, of the tree. And as you were saying that, and I know you felt like you didn't say it very well, but I perfectly understood what you were saying, is that I just saw this tree. It's just with all these nests in it. And we have a garden. We have a beautiful garden, actually. It's really scruffy at the moment with the winter. But we're blessed to have a really nice-sized garden that attached to our house. And in the middle of our garden is this very old apple tree. And it's just like bang right in the middle of the garden. And when we first bought our house, which was just over 5 years ago, and last summer, quite a lot of you ladies, you came, I did a garden party in our garden. It was just wonderful. It was one of the highlights of the year for me. I loved having you all there. It was just amazing. And when we first bought our bungalow, which is just nearly 6 years ago now. It's just after my mum passed away, and we felt like we could move house after I'd helped care for my mum and dad before they both passed away. And life had taken quite a toll, you know, and it does when with bereavement. It takes a toll on your life. But with the help and grace of God, you know, His grace is sufficient, amen? He is sufficient for us, and we get through these things. But when we first bought the garden, we could only see the garden to the apple tree. It was like we could just see a triangle of the garden. And the rest of it was just overgrown. And it reminded me of when we planted the church, and the Lord said to us, like, this is my garden. You know, look after my garden. Well, and so when Steph brought the word about the tree spreading its branches, and I'd heard a word before many, many, many years ago about mustard tree and how it spreads its branches and it provides shelter and cover for the city and for people, you know, and it's a place of safety. And I when you brought that word, Steph, I thought about our own garden, Steve, you know, because over the years, you know, in a garden where there's lots of plants and trees, and you know, it's not acres and acres, it's a nice garden, you know. But we get quite a lot of wildlife in, and some of the wildlife is wonderful, and we kind of always like on the edge of, oh, shall we put one of these like detector things in the garden that beeps, you know, so that all the cats don't come in, or so that, you know, and I'm like, oh no, please don't, because I like seeing the wildlife come in, you know, I like seeing the squirrels, you know, I get great pleasure looking out the window and there's like squirrels like digging holes in your in the garden, and my husband's like, I wish that squirrel didn't come in, you know, it's like digging and burying, and we get a lot of birds in, and the birds, you know, there's lots of bushes, but they love being in the apple tree. But we also in the garden, we get foxes. And how many of you ever get foxes in your garden? And just as, you know, and just at this time, you know, well, we feel like God is just doing something wonderful in the body of Christ. And I see so many of you flourishing in your lives. You know, how many of you just feel God doing something in your life? Amen? Is that just me?
No.
How many of you, put your hand up. You say, I just feel God's doing something in my life, right? So it's a lot of you here. God's doing something in your life. And that's what He does. His plan is that we would prosper in all things. Amen? Our soul will prosper in all things, and that His purpose is for, you know, good, and He's intentional about His good purpose towards each one of us. Amen?
Amen.
In the hope that He has planned for us for our future.
Yeah.
So He never plans destruction. We live in a fallen world, and sometimes we can feel like our lives are full of destruction. And sometimes that is hard, you know, and you have things go wrong, but we share very carefully with the right people when things feel like there's destruction in our lives, because the words of our mouth have great power. And so we more often will say, actually, you know, God has a plan. Our testimony cannot just be, oh, there's all this destruction, When God has a plan for good and not evil and abundance in our lives. And so it's, you know, don't ever invite me to your pity party, because I'm not come. Because if that's all we, you know, if the words of our mouth are just talking about destruction we've had, it's not glorifying to God. Amen. Anyway, we have these foxes that come. We know when they've been, because we can hear them, right? We can hear, I mean, they bark loud, right? They sit on the wall at the front of our house and they bark. You know, they just wander around. Thing about foxes, they were shy. When I was growing up, you never saw a fox in the road walking down a pathway, did you? And now they've got like real proper cocky. Yeah? Like you see a fox anywhere and they just like look at you. Like you can almost go up and pat it, you know. I feel like that's a bit like the enemy right now. He's got a little bit cocky. in this day and age in which we live. In this generation which he's called us to serve his purposes, the enemy's got like right, proper, cocky. Amen? You hearing me? Are you hearing the word this morning? Because I've hijacked the message. You're hearing the word. It's important that we hear the word. We need to be in the presence of God, and it allows the Holy Spirit to speak. There's a lot of voices that will come. Listen, I'm nearly 60, .. I heard a lot of voices in all the years I've been ministering. We need to make sure that we're listening to the right ones. Hallelujah. I listen to the wrong ones sometimes over the years. We need to listen to the right ones. And so we have these foxes, they parade around our roads, they parade around our garden, they come in, they dig holes in our garden. And the Bible talks about foxes when God is referring to Israel. And he refers to Israel as my vineyard. And I remembered this about the garden this morning. God said, tend the church, lead the church like it's my garden. And we've endeavored to do our very best with that over the years. I guess we must have done something okay, because I'm still standing. A lot of people have fallen and given up. I totally get it. Because when you're in leadership, sometimes it's just like, well, the enemy, just get off my back. Well, because the truth is, it's never about us. It's about the vineyard. It's never about you. It's never about me. It's not about you. She was so sick when she was a little girl, we thought we were going to lose her. What the enemy sees is the vineyard of the Lord. He sees the fruit that will come and break out into a city to bring revival before he returns to take the church home. It's never about you. It's about what you're going to do for him. It's not because you're so special, or I'm so special, or you're so special, or although you are, you know how much we love you guys. We love you. You're special, but it's not about your specialness. It's about God's looking at the vineyard. He's like looking at the vineyard. He's saying, I'm going to make this a safe place for people from every nation to come and plant there and get in a nest in this tree. Because he sees a city full of lost people. He doesn't see my own desires. He doesn't see your, he sees them. But you know what? Let me tell you, let me just crush an idea and a thought. It is about us because he loves, but it's not about us. It's about him all along. It's about him. It's little to do with our dream. It's not about my call or my, or what I want to do. This is about him, our soon coming king, who went into Jerusalem on a donkey, humble. Because why? Because he came to serve and not be served. A humble king on a donkey. When he returns, he's coming on a horse. He's coming on a horse. And the war will be ended. And so I'm thinking about the garden and these pesky foxes. Oh, you hate them, right? I really like them. He hates them because they destroy the garden, and they're a real predator in this country with regards to birds and nests, particularly birds that nest on the ground. They will eat their eggs. They will destroy a nest. They'll destroy the potential for fledglings to grow and go and make their nests in the branches of the mustard tree, which is there for the safety, right, of the families that want to make their nest in there. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Oh, church, we need to wake up in the name of Jesus. One of the most important things. We want this gift. We want that. Well, we want the, oh, I got a gift. I got a talent. Well, glory to God. So have I. And sometimes I clean the toilets. Well, praise the Lord. One of the most important gifts we can have as believers is the gift of discernment. Everybody say discernment. Everybody say discernment. Because it helps us, the Bible says, to see what spirit is which. And make sure that we're going with the Holy Ghost. And so he would like to eradicate the foxes. I'm like, don't you dare put that solar thing in the garden. Let's cope with the cats, wee, and poop. Let the wildlife come in, basically. But the Bible talks about the birds of the air have nests, and the foxes of the ground have holes. And then in the Song of Solomon, that book, you know, which nobody dares read, but it's so prophetic. If we would read it through the eyes of the kingdom, prophetically about what God is saying in the Song of Solomon. And right there in chapter 2, Steph, as we were talking about birds of the air and the vineyard of the Lord, because we are all responsible for keeping the vineyard of the Lord clear of weeds. You got weeds in your life? They're your weeds, they're not mine. You pull up your weeds and deal with your weeds. If they're in the house of God, we're going to pull up the weeds. I'm telling you that, right? If there's weeds in this house, they're affecting this house and the growth of this body, we're going to come pull those weeds up. We've been pulling up weeds for over 30 years. It's backbreaking. But right there in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, as God is talking about his vineyard, I want you to know that we're stood in a brick building right now. It astonishes me every week that we're in this brick building, but something incredible happens when the people of God walk in. The presence of God walks in with us, and this brick building becomes a habitation for the glory of God. And it's important. It's important when a word comes like the nests in the tree bring in safety, that we all put our hands on our heart and say, I need to pray for the church. Somehow the word pray and Christians don't always go hand in hand. It's worst attended meeting in the church. But we need to take responsibility to pray for the church. Amen. Can I get an amen anywhere in this building? Like, it's a personal responsibility that says, I'm going to pray for the church and make sure, because right there in the Song of Solomon chapter 2, where God is talking about his vineyard, I want you to say, this is like a vineyard in here this morning. Jesus talks often about vineyards. He says, I am the branches. I am the vine. Let's get it the right way around this morning. I'm the vine. You are the branches. There's this picture of a vineyard. My parents used to own a house in France that was surrounded by vineyards. You'd go in the summer and they were in full leaf and grapes and you go in the winter and it was like sticks and you thought, I thought this was a vineyard. But there was purposeful pruning. See, when God purposefully prunes our life, it's okay. But it's never okay if there's little foxes that are allowed to come and spoil the vine. And so what I feel to say on the back end of this incredible picture of this safety is we have a responsibility to pray for the church. That it would be whole and blessed, and everybody's lives would be blessed and whole and fruitful. When I used to look at the fields of vines at my mum and dad's house there in the Loire Valley in France, I would, all the vines, Steve, would be in fruit. They'd all be in fruit. And it was wonderful. And so I felt like the Lord remind me that in a time of fruitfulness, and lots of you put your hand up and say, oh God, God's doing something in my life. It's amazing, isn't it? And you just love it when God, you feel the work of the Lord in your life and he's bringing your life into fruitfulness. It's to say, keep your vineyard well watered with the word of God and in prayer, just as we will for this body of people. And to make sure that those little foxes that yap around like Yorkshire Terriers, like, sorry if you've got a Yorkshire Terrier, that come to take away the fruit that God has put there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just pray for one another now? Would that be all right, Steve? Because we're the church, we're all part of God's vineyard. Sometimes I just like, when God's trying to speak or say something, I can't sleep. It just keeps me awake. I'm a writer down at 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, would you stop doing that, Lord? Because he wants to gloriously bless our lives and bring health and healing into our families. Amen. Lord Jesus, we trust you. Well, let's lift our hands towards heaven. Jesus, we trust you this morning. We trust you, Father. We just bring our lives before you this morning. And in our vineyards, in our family, in our vineyards outside of the body of Christ, in our vineyard here, Lord, in the center of Paul, would you pour out your spirit, Lord God? Would you pour your spirit out upon our lives, Lord God? Would you pour your blessing and your healing and your strength and your provision, Lord? Would you cause much fruit, Lord God, to come, and fruit that remains, Lord God? I pray for every person here this morning. Maybe you feel like your vine is just wobbly and not strong. I pray you would know his all sufficiency in your life. And may we as a body of your people know, Lord God, the strength and the safety that is to be found in the grip of your hand, Lord God. Oh Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God. We bless you. And we receive from you this morning, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done in our lives and all that you're going to do in our lives, Lord God. And we bless you. In Jesus' name, we bless you.
We, as I say, we can't. We get all struck when we just stand, have the privilege of standing in front of you people who just well, we're all so different. We've got so, and because you're all so different, you've all got so many different things going on in your lives. We want to pray for you. I'm going to, this morning, we're going to, Suzanne and I are going to pray for every one of you, if that's okay. Don't have, we want to pray for every one of you. And it's almost going to be like individually. I used to hear people years ago when I was in church of people who had a car park ministry. What's a car park ministry? He said, what's a car park ministry? You know, ministering to cars? No, it's after the service is finished that someone gathers somebody in the car park because they got a word for them or someone like that. And it can take away from what God wants to do in the house. You have this protection, this power in the house. We're going to pray for every person in a moment. But on the back of, I was going to say a whole lot of other things about Palm Sunday and Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and you know that stuff. But before we pray for you, on the back of what Suzanne was saying there about these foxes and some things that would try and destroy what God is doing. When Jesus got into Jerusalem, you know, he went to Jerusalem, rode on the donkey, this fulfilling the prophetic word from Zechariah and Psalms. It's purposeful. Everything Jesus did and said was on purpose, with a purpose in mind. So he had to fulfill what the prophet had spoken. Children of Zion, lowly, coming lowly on a donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus, up until that point, had, in his ministry, been kept sort of very quiet and hadn't wanted to, in a sense, to draw attention to himself, although attention was drawn to him. But when he went into Jerusalem, he went into Jerusalem like an emperor would come into Jerusalem, a Roman emperor having won a lot of battles or whatever. And that's why we hear, read it as being, it says, it'll say in your Bible, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. When he gets to the temple, you know, he finds in the temple all sorts of things going on in the outer courts, which was a place that the Gentiles could come and pray. And he found all this stuff going on in there that was not fitting for the house of God. People were coming at this time, people were coming to worship, but all this trading was going on and sacrificial animals were being sold at extortionate prices and money was being changed because the only currency that was acceptable in the temple was a temple currency. And so there's all this trading and marketing and extortion was going on in this place. And you know what Jesus said, didn't you? Don't you? He says, you've turned my house into a den of thieves. And this place where Gentiles could go into the inner court, but the So the Jews go into the inner court, but Gentiles can only come into the outer court. He says, my house, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, it says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. All nations. Jew and Gentile and all nations can come into this house. It should be a house where all nations can come and pray and worship. Not a house of prayer for the English, for the French, another one for the French, another one for the Africans, another one for Slovakians, another one for the English, another one for those from Botswana. Zambia. No, I pray a house of prayer for all nations. But you, you have turned into a den of thieves. Jesus said, the thief has a purpose to come kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it in all its fullness. See, even then, Jesus is saying, you've turned this place and allowed the thief to come in to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that you may have life and have it in all its fullness. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who came to bring life. On that day when you entered into Jerusalem, you came in on purpose, with purpose in mind. You know, fulfilling scripture, fulfilling the prophecy of the old times. And Father, we thank you that you came in, and you came in to become that sacrifice for us, to give us that life in all its fullness. And so, Father, on this Palm Sunday, on this day when you made that triumphant entry, and you recognized and saw the thief operating in the house of God, which was meant to be a place of prayer for all nations, it had got distracted. Father, we choose to be a people who watch out. In Jesus' name. At the time before when Jesus came into the temple, we see it recorded in John's Gospel, when Jesus came in that time before and he found the money changers in, and his Bible said he turned them over, ripped them out, sent them flying, and pandemonium took place in the outer courts. And disciples looked at each other and said, whoa, for the zeal of the Lord's house has consumed me. And yet there was a recognition of the purity and the reverence in that place, in that upper place of worship. You know, the temple, we are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit is living in, is within each and every one of us. Come on, there should be a desire for purity, a desire for a sense of pure worship, and a desire for a sense of Him to do His thing in our lives, in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Oh, for your presence here this morning. You remember when Jesus came and he dealt with the temple and he drove out those money changers and they were gone. And he said, you know, you have turned it in to a den of thieves. A place which should be a place of prayer for all nations. And when that was cleared, when that purity was back in that place, the Bible say, then they came to him and he healed blind and the lame. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are captive. Father, we thank you for your presence in Jesus' name. Father, we choose to worship you this morning. As we worship, church, I'm going to ask Suzanne to come stand with me here. And we want to pray for every person in this house. I'm going to do it in a way that can cause pandemonium. But if you're able, I'd like you just to come and walk, every one of you who wants, or just to walk past you. I'm just going to pray. I know there's people got stuff going on in their lives. There's a family grieving the loss of a loved one this morning. Our heart goes out to you, my friend. So as we close out just now, Suzanne and I are going to stand here. As you come past, we're just going to lay hands on you and just very briefly pray for you in a place that is a place, a house of prayer for all nations, a place of protection, a place of sanctuary, a place where the life of God is experienced.